Ezekiel chapter 13. Verse 16 says, to wit, the prophets of Israel which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see no visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. And say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people? And will you save the souls alive that come unto you? And then verse 19 is very telling. The question is, and will you pollute me among my people for hands full of barley and for pieces of bread, to slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live, by your lying to my people that hear your lies? Boy, what a great verse that is. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillows, wherein ye hunt them, their souls, to make them fly. And I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also will I tear, and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I had not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising him life. Therefore, ye shall see no more vanity, nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord.
Well, good morning. And happy Mother's Day, all our Israelite women. The title of today's message is Your Papers, Please. And I was trying to find an appropriate scripture reading for today, and you may have been confused about all the pillow business and handkerchiefs. Well, that was kind of the malarkey that was going on back in those days that coincided with their notorious groves and somewhat like Halloween costumes and saving your soul to fly to heaven and all of this kind of nonsense. And Ezekiel was talking about all these smoke and mirrors of these false prophets for their lying prophecies. And I think Don and I are on the same wavelength this morning with the way we are being lied to these days. And I would say shame on these political soothsayers and political pundits who have been telling tall tales in recent weeks, especially to the American people and to the world. I don't know about you, but with each passing week, I get the impression that there is an escalation in totalitarianism and a loss of control over our personal freedoms. It's just this continuous social erosion of one thing after another. It's like watching a train wreck in slow motion. I'm just glad I'm not on that train. I was going to title this message, Better Living Under Babylonian Bondage Through the Christian Faith, but that was a little wordy. That would be more for Joyce to type up in the program. Yeah. So I chose the often quipped cliche, your papers please, which most people associate, and I did a Google and there's like 5 pages associated with those nasty Nazis who would stop people and question who they were and where they were going. And if they didn't like them, they'd send them off to a concentration camp and gas them. Well, this exercise of authority in the extreme, or the exaggeration thereof, has been termed a police state. And by the way, are there going to be police in the kingdom of God? I don't know. But there's certainly going to be an authority. And we know that some people are not going to be allowed in the kingdom. The biblical euphemism being cast out into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not a good place to be. Well, the standard for Christian authority is Romans 13, which has been terribly corrupted by the churches with the creeping socialism, communism of the last century. Jesus was living in a Roman police state. Those who have governmental authority are not supposed to be a terror to people who are good, but rather a terror to those who do evil. And we shouldn't be afraid of godly authority if we live good, godly lives. But if you make sin or criminality your way of life, you should fear for your life, because those who administrate God's standards do not keep and bear arms in vain, and will execute God's judgment upon those engaged in criminal activity. Now, that's just a paraphrase of the first 4 verses of Romans 13. To complicate matters, in the end times, as in the days of Noah and Lot, which we are told they were marrying and giving in marriage, which I think means race mixing and homosexuality, there will be a reversal of good and evil. Some people call it political correctness. For example, sodomites will be viewed as good, and whereas so-called homophobes will be considered evil. What I'm getting at is 2 levels of understanding. A demand for your papers. That is, documentation of who you are. There's a righteous and godly motivation, and then there's an unrighteous and ungodly motivation that requires identification. I remember this guy asked me, "You know who you are?" And I told him I was an Israelite, thinking this would be a good opportunity to spread the message. As it turned out, He almost fell out of his chair, much like to Pastor Elmore's surprise of talking with this guy about our church. Because this guy was Christian Identity also. And we went on to become good friends. But let me ask you, did not God set the bounds of the people? In other words, national boundaries. Yes, he did. Deuteronomy 32:8. And the principle is that certain people do not belong in certain areas. The law of God is that the racial alien shall not dwell in your land. So if they're trespassing, they're violating the law. They are illegals. Now, the Germans had a problem of an embedded alien in their culture that had no intent of respecting their laws. The ancient Teutonic lands or kingdoms were free of alien Jews, but they eventually wormed their way into Anglo-Saxon societies. In 1933, the alien problem was so out of control in Germany that drastic measures were deployed to counter the communist partisans, who were mostly Jews. And the violence and the murders that they were committing, and it's still going on with the Mossad today. If you recall, the Jewish Bolsheviks murdered the entire Romanov family, virtually liquidating the Russian monarchy. Communism's ultimate goal is to undo the principle of God's national boundaries. The World Jewish League went so far as to declare, quote, war without mercy against the German people the moment Hitler was elected into office. The German authorities had no other choice in maintaining law and order, which rightly terrified these evil partisans, than to impose identification documents throughout Germany. Well, wouldn't it be great if we had a law making Jews wear yellow six-pointed stars on their clothing so we would know who's who? To the law-abiding citizens, there is nothing to fear, knowing that evil people were being weeded out of their society that had no right to dwell in their land to begin with. The early white Christian Americans understood perfectly the need for racial separation. But the North American continent was a wilderness. The New World did not yet have any national boundaries, as Britain, France, and Spain vied for territories. But as the centuries elapsed and nations and states were established, we would come full circle to a New World Order under the banner of Jewish communism, with the intent to dissolve all border lines. That's what the United Nations has been pushing all these years. And it has pushed us right into a police state that George Orwell predicted in his bestseller, 1984, which was a warning against the emerging Soviet system of totalitarianism. Total control of your mind and your life. That's why today, when you're stopped by a traffic cop and asked for your papers, driver's license, proof of insurance. Their authority is a terror to law-abiding citizens. But does God give us the right to travel in our own land? Is insurance biblical? Chasing after evil criminals is mostly reserved for television propaganda. They would prefer to write you a ticket for a couple hundred bucks to pad their pension funds than to respond to a 9/11 call because they might get hurt. If you've done nothing wrong and challenge they're stopping you, then rest assured two or more other cop cars with their lights flashing will show up, and passing motorists will just think you're probably a drunk driver or a bank robber or something evil. Just the other morning on CNN, there was a inconsequential car chase in Los Angeles with at least 10 cop cars and a helicopter in hot pursuit. The media covers these stories as a reminder to people that you can't run away from the police. There's never any follow-up as to whether the person being chased was guilty of anything. What do you think if the police are going to kill you? Well, just ask Gordon Call. There are still a few conscientious law enforcement officers, but the profession has been secularized. And it's not God's law that they're enforcing. Colonel Archibald Roberts warned us 30 years ago about regionalism and municipal law, admiralty jurisdiction replacing English common law, and a concerted plan to eliminate Christian chiefs of police. When the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn or groan. People are moaning and groaning for good reason today. Wickedness spawns more wicked people who are promoted to positions of authority. If our people haven't completely shut down their faculties of critical thinking, we agonize over the unrighteousness and darkness that overshadows our spirit to be free. Today in America, if you're asked for your traveling papers and you don't have them, you're looking at an automatic arrest. If Jesus were walking the streets today, he'd be arrested for violating at least 20 different infractions. His carpentry had no building permits. Feeding 5,000 folks without a health department license. And I think ATF would have looked into making more than a couple gallons of wine. Well, you get the idea. A free white Christian man on the street today is perceived as a threat to Babylon. And the herd mentality since 9/11 is motivated on behalf of the war on our spirit, the same spirit of 76. Even beyond the violence and repression instigated by the U.S. government, the most unsettling development of the 9/11 attacks has been the planned demolition and collapse of the minds of most Americans. They said things will never be the same. And I think it's a lot like rape. One's thinking is traumatized. Our minds have been raped. And that is the foundation of a mind control operation. And yet collectively, we are unaware of the mental assault. Putting a God Bless America and we support our troops decal on 50 million cars hasn't accomplished anything in 10 years. In fact, just the opposite, with curses and tribulation. Romans 1:28 tells us, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Well, let's see, how do these blessings work again? Oh yeah, it has something to do with obedience. Not to tyrants, but to God. The Christian motto of the American Revolution was, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. The biblical parallel is Psalms 149, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. Just because somebody is elected to office or is filthy rich does not give them carte blanche to do whatever they want. Politicians and millionaires are not above the law, though they like to think of themselves as an aristocracy of some sort. The reason I chose this subject of the law of the land, putting certain demands upon people, is because of the outlandish hypocrisy of the last 2 weeks, which Pastor Elmore alluded to earlier. Donald Trump may try to take credit for riding in on the wave that was started 2 years ago by Americans who were asking a Negro running for president, your papers, please. You remember the TV character, Lieutenant Columbo, played by Peter Falk, who was a brilliant police detective, but known kind of for his disheveled and frumpy look. And yet kind of a mild-mannered style of asking questions that incriminated suspects before they realized where the questions were headed. Well, somebody did a great satire of Columbo interviewing Obama. I don't know if you've ever heard this or not, but I'm going to share it with you today. I'm going to be doing an impression a little bit here. And it went something like this. Excuse me, Mr. Obama. I mean, Senator Obama, sir. No, you're busy and important and stuff. I mean, running for president is very important. And I hate to bother you. I'll only take a minute, okay, sir? I have these missing pieces that are holding me up. And I was wondering, sir, if you could take time out of your busy schedule and help me out. You know, no big deal, just some loose ends and things. Well, listen, anyways, I can't seem to get the information I need to wrap this up. These things seem to be locked up or not available. They should be available as part of the public record, given the high office you're seeking to win, sir. I'm sure it's just some oversight or glitch or something. So if you could tell me where these things are, could you help me find these things, sir? Let's see here. Sir, it's just a short list. Shouldn't take too long if we could just get together, sir. All I need is your Occidental College records, your Columbia College records, your Columbia thesis paper, your Harvard College records, your Selective Service registration, your medical records, your Illinois State Senate records, your Illinois State Senate schedule, your law practice client list, your certified copy of your original birth certificate, your Harvard Law Review articles that were published, your University of Chicago scholarly articles, and your record of baptism. Oh, hey, listen, sir, I know you are very, very busy. Is this too much for you right now? I mean, I'll tell you what, I will come back tomorrow, give you some time to get these things together, you know. I mean, I know you are very, very busy, so I'll just let myself out, but I'll be back tomorrow to pick up the paperwork. At that point, Senator Obama turns to Colombo and asks him, who exactly wants to know these things about myself? To which Colombo smiled and answered, sir, it's the people. The American people want to know your background, just in case, you know, just in case there's some kind of controversy in the foreseeable future. We'll be able to clear it up. We'll be able to clear it up as soon as possible, sir. Well, now we have a red-hot controversy because Obama gave the American people 2 years later, a certificate of live birth, and it's a forgery. A lot of U.S. presidents have done a lot of outrageous things, but nothing has ever compared to the contempt for the American people than Obama's Mickey Mouse attempt to prove he's a natural-born citizen. Mickey Mouse is more of an American than he is. But to add gas to the fire, late Sunday evening, May 1st, 2011, last week, Obama took command of the airwaves, preempting your favorite show. And all of the networks were poised with their talking heads. And the dramatic announcement was made that Osama bin Laden had been killed by top secret Navy SEAL team. Well, I immediately put on my tinfoil hat, realizing that this is another major psyop being waged against the American people. Indeed, the whole world, as much as 9/11 itself. And that it would also be a major deception. Just like back in Ezekiel's day, with the false prophets staging the illusions of a magic show. And what a coincidence. It was timed to coincide with the 235th anniversary of the Illuminati and the death of Hitler and communism's International Workers' Day, and they're coming to get me now, and because of the next one, Holocaust Remembrance Day, which I always fail to remember, all packed into one neat package for the world's worst terrorist killed by the world's best liar. The world's most elite military commandos allegedly killed the most wanted terrorist in the world with two mafia-style shots to the head and the chest, sentenced and executed without any trial whatsoever. Not even in absentia. The FBI admitting years ago that they had no evidence linking him to 9/11. Besides all that, there have been reliable government sources that say bin Laden died years ago, which makes the present fiasco all the more comical, if you know what to look for. Nevertheless, minutes after Obama's Sunday obituary, as CNN reported it, there were about 20 tourists outside the gates of the White House who spontaneously broke out in patriotic songs and chants of USA, USA, USA. Oh, wow, that's pretty good for tourists just hanging out in front of the White House, you know. What's that cliche? First a trickle, and then a stream, and then comes the flood. Well, that's what magically happened late last Sunday night with an explosion of rejoicing and dancing in the streets. Celebrants were flooding into Times Square and Ground Zero, where the World Trade Center used to be. It's almost reminiscent of the Israeli documentarians filming 9/11 dancing and high-fiving with each other after the planes crashed into the Twin Towers. What an amazing eruption of national pride and infectious flag waving. And all the flags seemed to be brand new and the same size. I don't know. An amazingly tasteless and morbid celebration of murder and on Illuminati Day, exactly according to the spirit of that organization. But wait, there's an additional bonus point to be made for torture. All that waterboarding finally paid off. To find bin Laden's courier, because they don't use telephones or email, even though Obama had phone numbers sewn in his clothes and had a bunch of computers with everything you've always wanted to know about Al-Qaeda, who was followed for 5 years and finally led the experts at the CIA to Osama's million-dollar compound right next door to Pakistan's military version of West Point. It's strangely funny that this would happen right when the birth certificate controversy was getting a fishy smell to it. But the U.S. government wasn't totally insensitive to Islamic law and respected Osama with a burial at sea within hours of killing him. I guess that made up for killing Saddam's sons and waiting 11 days before burying them. Actually, in no culture in this world is it preferred to bury people at sea. Why? Because we then know where they are. And just in case the body needs to be exhumed. John Brennan, Obama's counterterrorism advisor, said, "We are going to do everything we can to make sure that nobody has any basis to try to deny that we got Osama bin Laden." Well, that's a relief for would-be conspiracy theorists. But again, your papers, please. Where's the death certificate? Where's the forensic crime report? And surely there's a video. After all, there's a picture of Obama and Hillary in a little room with all the bigwigs at the White House watching Operation Geronimo, which some Indian groups are now protesting. And what? Somebody forgot to press the record button? And all they got was three frames, kind of like the plane hitting the Pentagon on 9/11? Well, the Illuminists know what they're doing. And they don't need no stinking papers. They know their way of doing things is going to provoke a lot of contention. In fact, it's a planned strategy, further dividing America between those who believe everything the government says, including the fourth branch of government, the media, that is the Ministry of Truth, and those Americans who are coming to believe the government is a pack of lying, thieving scumbags. Yet another excuse to attack anyone trying to think for themselves. Without a body, this issue will obviously never be put to rest, but rather exacerbated by provocateurs within the two camps of trusters and skeptics. Crazy thing about all of this is that this guy's probably been dead for 10 years, but now he's officially dead. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Who's going to be the new scapegoat? Perhaps it will be a domestic group that dares to challenge the Savior, Messiah, Obama. And they'll be called birther terrorist. And of course, racist. You know, there's less persecution calling yourself a Satanist these days than calling yourself a racist. And being that there's a perceived threat to their Illuminati authority, there's no doubt will be the same kind of draconian legislation we saw from 9/11 to make the world safe for totalitarianism. Reinforce the Patriot Act. Give more power to that Homeland Security dike. Crank up the debt ceiling and make it so that no one can buy or sell anything without your papers, please. As long as they say please and politely escort you to your jail cell where they can poison your food and water and turn you into a zombie. I mean, that's what they're doing already to our homes and our communities. The burial at sea is as ludicrous and preposterous as it is unnecessary, because they could have fabricated a more credible excuse for avoiding the demands for a third-party independent autopsy of the body. This absurdity factor is, in fact, very telling in that it was a psychological operation. In other words, the warfare or mind control of brainwashing the American people. Once you see a few, you learn to see a lot. They always throw in several for good measure. But there's dozens this time. It's a type of satanic levity, such as the kerosene jet fuel that melted the steel girders and vaporized the black box flight recorders of not one but both planes that flew into the World Trade Center, plus it vaporized the passengers. Then they told us with a straight face that the passport, that's what you give them when they ask for your papers, please. Of the alleged ringleader of the hijackers, the passport was found lying in the street, unsinged from the terrific fireball above, perfectly intact. How about that? Why make a big lie unbelievable, unacceptable to common sense? They do it because they want everybody to know at the subconscious level that they're lying. Why? Because they can. And they can do it with impunity. It's a subliminal message that's saying, hello, Goyim, we just committed another huge crime and want you to know there isn't anything you can do about it. So then there are some brain-dead parrots who say, we need to give Obama credit for being a great commander-in-chief, for bringing bin Laden to justice. You know, I'm hearing this mantra in the last week more and more. Listen for it. We need to give him credit for blah, blah, blah. So now, rather than it being a bold-faced lie in a theater of the absurd, it's become a serious debate. The people pointing out the obvious truth will be labeled conspiracy nuts and lump us in with Charlie Sheen. If Donald Trump were worth an ounce of salt for what he purports to be, he never would have congratulated Obama for this lame performance in a bad Tom Clancy movie. They are both actors. Two soulless rock'em sock'em robots in a fake debate for fake polls, for fake votes, and a fake presidency. I said back in the Ronald Reagan days that they need an Academy Award for politicians. Under his administration, the distinction between life imitating art and vice versa was exquisitely blurred. Day after day, Americans allow themselves to be conned, befuddled, and frightened by a cast of clowns and freaks. One of the most underestimated passages in the Bible, which confirms God's sovereignty and the battle between truth and lies, is 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. It says, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The truth is, we should demand proof from anyone who is a racial alien in our land as to why they are here. Your papers, please. The truth is God's law. And Deuteronomy 17:15 says, one from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou may not set a stranger over thee which is not thy brother. This is a clear declaration of race that says only white people can govern white people. When I ran for the state legislature in Washington State, there was an Oriental running for governor that same year, and I was invited to a candidates' forum at a local high school where each candidate was given 3 minutes to address the student body of 500 kids. I used this opportunity to recite Deuteronomy 17:15, and all hell broke loose. In fact, this is exactly what I said. Quote, "We have a good example of the hypocrisy and confusion that the New World Order is creating. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I heard Gary Locke, the Oriental, say that he's a Christian, and then say there's no place for the Bible in government. I understand his disdain for the scriptures. In Deuteronomy 17:15, God's law commands that we may not elect a stranger over us, which is not thy brother. I boldly declare that communists, homosexuals, and non-whites should not be allowed to hold public office. This was the spirit of our founding fathers, and they were right. Multicultural diversity and integration is the cancer upon our body politic, which must be removed if we are to overcome the decadence and alien subversion. We can't return to the past, but we must return to greatness." And then it just went. The following piece of yellow journalism came from a major newspaper the next day. And I think you'll see why Christ said, "Woe unto ye scribes." After a Populist Party candidate bashed homosexuals and minorities at a school-sponsored candidates' forum, the students were left wrestling with issues of free speech. Students say the remarks were especially significant because school administrators go to great lengths putting signs in every classroom to let students know they can't make such remarks. "If we can't say it, why can he?" asked one student. Seniors are to meet with the American government teacher to discuss whether Downey had the right to speak his mind, even if it hurt some students, and whether he'll be invited back again. Downey took the forum by storm when he delivered what students called a message of hate. One black student said that he was offended. He said, "I think he had the right to come, because if he hadn't come, no one would know his views. I was close to hitting him, though." A mother of one of the students was outraged that anyone could say such things in a taxpayer-supported public school. She said, "Downey has the right to his opinions, but not to be preaching it to our kids. I certainly don't raise my kids with those kind of views. He should have been dragged off the stage." The Democratic candidate likewise was surprised by the force of his attack and thought to grab the microphone away from Downey. One of the student panelists described a stunned silence in the auditorium for the first 10 seconds of Downey's closing statement. That silence quickly turned to screaming and booing that nearly drowned out the candidate's remarks, end quote. Well, this last part of the article is only half true. The auditorium got very loud also with cheering and applause, much to the chagrin of the Orwellian school officials. Ain't democracy wonderful? That was 15 years ago. And the Oriental was elected and is now Obama's ambassador to China. Things have gotten worse for our race and Christianity because the race war is both a war of words and a violent crime spree of black-on-white murders, rape, assaults, and other felonies, according to the Department of Justice statistics. Things have gotten better for me because I'm Christian identity. And I know what it is to grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in spite of being surrounded by an enemy that hates us. It's not better economically or physically, the aches and pains of getting old, but my spiritual wealth and health has never been better, and that's what counts. My papers are the pages of the Word of God written in my heart and mind, and that can never be confiscated. As I mentioned earlier, there's a righteous and unrighteous demand for your papers. The rise of police roadblocks and checkpoints in America, as well as the indignities we experience at the hands of airport TSA agents, mostly Negro flunkies and perverts in a uniform, fondling elderly grandmothers in wheelchairs and little four-year-old white girls as if they're the dreaded Al-Qaeda, is merely an outward sign of a much deeper net being cast around individual liberties. There are over 1 million Americans on the no-fly list and in police databases because somebody thought they were acting suspiciously or said something suspiciously. The frog-faced czarette of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, launched the See Something, Say Something campaign to encourage citizens to become informants. That's all we need in the land of the free is a society of snitches. She recently had the audacity to call Walmart, Amtrak, major sports leagues, hotel chains, and metro riders to join the surveillance network, admitting that this represents a shift for our country. Well, Janet, just wait till the shift hits the fan and the people demand your papers for authorizing such anti-American policies of an alien antichrist. On the other hand, I'm proud that we still have a few principled Americans like Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who has the guts to stop a vehicle if they look like illegal aliens. After all, they have broken our laws by being here. More importantly, God's law says they shouldn't even be living in our land. I contend that unless racial profiling becomes the standard, it becomes absolutely insane and impossible to heed the warnings of Crime Stoppers or police bulletins on TV asking the public to watch out for a child molester in any given neighborhood. Does everybody become a suspect because political correctness won't allow the mention of race? It's crazy! Psalms 2:1 puts it like this. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why do you think Negroes loot and riot and white people don't? Do you think they revert to savages because of our racism? No, it's in their blood. And no amount of money or affirmative action will ever change that. Do you think the African on the dark continent, when they first saw the white man on their turf, asked them, excuse me, sir, may I see your papers? No. The white man would have gotten a poison dart in the neck from a blowgun. The point is that the other races have a different temperament than us. And that's the way God made them. But not to live among us, and certainly not to rule over us. They become the head, and we become the tail, when our own people imagine that they are just like us, which negates God's admonition to learn not the way of the heathen. Neither can they learn to be a covenant people. Jeremiah 13:23 asked, can the Ethiopian, meaning the African Negro, change his skin, or the leopard his spots? The metaphor expresses the condition of Adam man in his sinful nature, whereby our own kin can be as spiritually dead as any animal, void of fearing God and shame. Sin is the blackness of the soul. This was the message sent to King Jehoiakim and his queen. Their sorrows would be great indeed. But do they ask, wherefore come these things upon us? Jeremiah was letting them know that their obstinate transgressions would be the cause of their woes. Judah was carried away captive, and America is in bondage. No doubt about it. We should have asked for the papers a long time ago, but our people didn't care. If no one complains or asserts their God-given rights, then poof, another liberty is gone. Now the next generation witnesses what's happening and then grow up thinking the government has the right to define our identity by issuing documents, your papers, saying who we are, and also the right to require us to produce them on demand. Regardless of what you think of the Constitution, somebody was thinking ahead of the game by saying the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. The Fourth Amendment comes from Deuteronomy 24:10. When you make your neighbor a loan of any sort, you shall not enter his house to take the pledge. A corrupt government nullifies this by saying everything they do is reasonable. And this mindset has taken us to the illogical conclusion with the raid on bin Laden, killing him and bragging about all the papers they found. If it was intel they wanted, why didn't they keep him alive for interrogation? And maybe a little waterboarding to get the rest of his gang. Is that too hard to figure out? This is just common protocol in police investigations. But because we fear the responsibility for our actions or those who represent us, we have allowed ourselves to develop the mentality of slaves as our kings and nobles prowl about seeking whom they may devour. When will our people remember that we're supposed to be a free people, not serfs on a global plantation? If the truth shall make us free, then what are we going to do about all of these lies? When will white people realize that although we're told we are civilized, we are in fact domesticated and considered chattel? When will our people wake up and see the rest of the world laughing at us as a prodigal son squandering their inheritance? Our nation is insolvent, and our land is collateral. Our posterity is sold to criminals on Wall Street and foreigners who hate us. Our kindred need to just stop whatever they're doing. Sit down. Don't talk. And think for a few minutes. It's been well over 2 years since this undocumented mystery stranger has occupied the Oval Office with this birth certificate thing hanging over his head. And he's just now releasing some paperwork, which isn't even a scan or a photocopy, but rather a computerized, digitalized format that was non-existent in 1961. Does that make any sense to anybody? Have people become that dumbed down that it doesn't even raise any red flags? Not a blip on the radar. Is it not suspicious that Obama has spent $2 million on lawyers fighting this in the courts, and then he says he finds it all just a matter of amusement? Did you know that a high-ranking military officer, Lieutenant Colonel Terry Larkin, who legally requested Obama's birth certificate to rightfully defend himself in a court-martial case after refusing to be deployed by an unconstitutionally qualified commander-in-chief? He was found guilty and is still in jail. Larkin is an American-born white man. Everyone in Kenya, including Obama's African relatives, proudly say he was born there. It's curious how the media never reports on this, but is now accusing people who have doubts about Obama's Hawaiian birthplace as racist. This is just pure Jew 101. Play the race card on guilt-ridden whites. I'm getting a little sick and tired of it. Why did the Constitution only say natural-born citizens can be president? It's because they only wanted white presidents, in accord with Deuteronomy 17:15. Do we just let anybody into our country that can become our rulers? That's a recipe for war. Is there a difference between a Swiss watchmaker and a cannibal from Papua New Guinea? In a melting pot society, everybody is loved by the false god. An equal opportunity Tower of Babel, where the leader brags, "I'm a mutt." Well, the mutt in chief has made the decision not to release any pictures or proof of a dead Osama bin Laden. And his reasoning is right up there with the Chutzpah of the Year Award, declaring in a 60-minute interview that is scheduled for tonight that to do so would incite violence. As if the Navy SEAL CIA SWAT team raid was just a picnic with tea and crumpets. Obama said, "We don't need to spike the football over the triumphant assault and expose grisly photos of a bullet that went through the eye of bin Laden." CNN reported that the Navy rinsed him off before the burial at sea. Sounds like a Kodak moment to me. And then Barry said the most important thing he could say as it pertains to this sermon. He said, "That's not who we are." You see, what he was saying is that he is defining our national identity. And it's just the opposite of what we teach in Christian identity. He's already said America is no longer a Christian nation. It's only a matter of time before he will say America is no longer a white majority. It doesn't make any difference where you were born to be here. Let's face it. We're being taken for a ride, like in a mafia movie, and it's a one-way ticket to one world government. And the much ballyhooed mark of the beast won't be a tattoo or microchip on your forehead or hand. It will be control of your mind and the creativity God gave us for our existence. It kills the will to live. But living for us, our race, has always been predicated upon our reliance upon God Almighty. It's painful to think that a mongrel puppet has been installed by Antichrist Jewish supremacists, and that we must endure the decay of parasites sinking their fangs into our land and people. But on a positive note, because I'm getting near the end, none of the theater of calamities would be happening if the enemies of God were not fearfully anxious and desperate to pull off these magnificent conspiracies. As white Christians begin to understand all of these things before it's too late. And it's never too late to be convicted of our sins and claim the blood of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us, his people, on the cross. We're simply going to have to fight to overcome the lies of a corrupted world. We walk by faith when dealing with the Word of God. The government and the media are not God and do not speak the Word of God. With them, we walk by sight because their newspeak is the deification of lies. We know who we are. We are the true Israel of the Bible. Let's spread the good news. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen.